Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, The Effective Manager Has a Playbook, Part 3. The questions this cast answers are, how can I grow my direct leadership skills? How can I develop my team's crisis response skills? And how can I share my managerial skills with my team? For the answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Hey folks, the end of the year is fast approaching. In terms of folks who may be looking for a new role to start off the new year, the market is its very most liquid in January. What that means is, if you're looking to change jobs, you're going to want to get on top of your preparation today. We've got two products on our website that can help you start those activities. They are our interview series and our resume workbook. If your New Year's resolution is to find a new job, go on manager-tools.com/products and look into the interview series or resume workbook today. So yes, cobble together from other people and yourself and your experience and your training, et cetera, writing down your thoughts, your plans, your own playbook. You're going to need to somehow capture said playbook. Now, I know a lot of folks that listen to this podcast are high C's, and I don't want y'all to get wrapped around the axle here. It doesn't really matter how you save or you store your playbook. We've found that how people access, compile, retrieve information is so specific to be excessive. Guys, you don't need to worry about some huge database resource that's easily searchable and you can contribute to it easily and you can retrieve that information from any location on the planet Earth. Just don't store it electronically on a piece of technology you don't own at a really high level. I mean, if you're going to store it electronically, go to town, but don't store it on a company computer whereby if you lose your job, something like that happens, your entire playbook is gone with your role. This refers back to something we might all remember, your phone list, your contact list. Don't leave it in a place that can be taken away from you. What that means is the cloud is totally fine. Dropbox, wherever you're storing your information.
Right. As long as it's personal cloud.
Exactly.
Personal Dropbox.
Exactly. Yeah. You have personal access, not with an account from your company. Because if you get laid off, I would hate for your managerial wisdom to be gone.
Well, the other thing I will tell you, folks, now some of you who are 25 or 30 or whatever, you're going to laugh at me because I'm over 60 now, but I've lost easily 1,000 podcast ideas. I'm sure many of them have come back to me and I didn't even remember that it was one that I had lost because I thought to myself, I was laying down in bed, I was saying, okay, that's a great idea. I'll capture that in the morning. You've got to capture it right away. Now, but for the record, I've been writing podcasts since I was 40 and I started doing that back when I was 40. So if you're thinking, oh, I'm 40, I'll remember it. No, you won't. And you have to capture it and it has to go in a place. So you need to have a rubric. This is where that goes for now. Even if it's just a holding place, if you're a getting things done person, if you're a GTD person and hello, Steve Holden, you've got some place to capture that. There's a notebook that you keep. It could be your commonplace notebook, which you do a sweep of once a week, whatever. That would be certainly fine. Sarah's point about individualistic. I am astounded in conversations I get into with the differences, almost the fetishistic kind of feeling people have about how they capture
yeah.
things. PKM, personal knowledge management software, and so on. Or notebooks versus laptops versus so on. And people are like, oh, we can't talk about laptops. Mark doesn't like laptops. I said, I love my laptop. I love my iPod. I have all kinds of good stuff I do on it. But I don't take notes in a meeting with another person on my laptop for all kinds of other reasons. But if it's your laptop or if it's your cloud and you want to throw pictures up of handwritten notes, that's fine. Now, if you get 200 of them and you're trying to sort through them, figuring out the one that has the right stuff and it's not, it doesn't have a title that you can organize or something, that's a problem. But some people would say, no, I need to type it all up. Great. And of course, they all say the same thing. I can type faster than I can write. Yeah. Okay. Great. We're not recommending it because, oh my gosh, every time we recommend something like this, we get harsh pushback.
Hate mail. Hate mail is what he means.
No, you don't. You completely don't understand how the human brain works. Yeah.
So just captured electronically in a way that is accessible to you, the person, regardless of what company you work for.
Yes.
You've been warned. Okay. Next up then, share your playbook. Folks, there are two targets, that is, for the sharing of pages from your playbook, right? You're going to create this playbook. You're not going to keep it to yourself, super secret, from everyone else, right? One of your obvious targets, that is, people you're sharing this with, should be your directs. And by extension, anyone in your downward chain of authority.
Yeah. Yeah. Not sharing upwards, right?
Yeah. I mean, you could share it upward, but role power makes most senior professionals incapable in a dumb way, incapable of learning things from the people below them in the organization.
Yeah. They just don't.
They just don't want to.
If we working with colleagues that generally we respect and the organization has blessed somebody with a higher role power, and yes, it's easy to talk down your boss and so on. You know, I don't care. I don't care if you work for me. If you have an idea, I want the idea. If it gets to my level, it gets shared with more people than if it only stays at your level. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But there are plenty of people who will be like, yeah, no. And if you have a great relationship, do so.
Exactly. That would be great. Okay. So yes, one of the targets then is your chain of authority, probably more down than up. The other is your larger list of colleagues, coworkers, friends, peers, people with whom you have a relationship that could benefit from that knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Sarah said, you'll note, sharing of pages from your playbook. She did not say sharing your playbook. Okay. Now look, we're not telling you shouldn't share your whole playbook. It would be very, very generous. But frankly, it's not really appreciated as much as you might think.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah.
So much work went into this thing.
When we've done so, I did so years ago, the people, they're looking at a high level, they're like, oh, this is kind of cool. You know, this is good. And I don't know if it's not invented here, whatever, but most of the pages in the playbook don't get looked at.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow, there's 100 of them here. Well, that's kind of cool. Yeah. And I tried several times, like, hey, I got a little playbook here. You know, one of my old bosses said, you should have a playbook. So I got this playbook. If you want it, here you go. Go copy it and then figure out how you're going to bind it up. Like, great. And I saw it on the guy's shelf 6 months later. I'm like, how's the playbook working? I haven't really looked at it, never really thought that it would necessarily be right or whatever. I said, oh, okay. In one particular case, I remember a guy, like, he went through one of the situations and I could tell he didn't use the playbook. And I thought, why? Now, look, if there's 100 pages, you got to go through it all and know what it covers.
Exactly.
So that takes time. But it was just like, I don't know. It was one of those things I'm like, okay, there's a lesson. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that goes back, Mark, to that old saying, that which we obtain too easily, we esteem too lightly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I just gave it to him.
Exactly. That's the thing. If someone is just given your entire playbook, they don't value it very much. Right. And in fact, we've actually had people say, thanks for the book, but I mean, there was a lot in there that I really disagreed with. And okay. So that's really fun. That's really cute. The thing about that is, how would you even know enough about those plays, the playbook itself, to have a respectable opinion as to whether or not that would even work.
Let alone that you would then somebody gave you something, and then
exactly.
they say, well,
that's not that good.
Yeah. So personal experience suggests that we recommend sharing your playbook one page at a time.
Yeah.
In the case of your organization, you share it when you use it. Gosh, please, let's be leaders as in any level of management you want, even into the executive ranks, by doing what leaders do, and that is creating other leaders. Why make the people go through the same thing you did? The management, getting promoted to management shouldn't be hazing. Well,
exactly.
It's hard for me, so it should be hard for you. You know, I talk a lot about friction-free environments with inside corporate organizations. Why wouldn't you want there to be 10% less friction for the person who takes your job? Because she knows more, because you shared more with her, because the person who got promoted from your team to be your peer you say, dude, here's the playbook. You know, maybe you won't face all these, but there's 50, 75 things. And you can call me anytime. And I promise you, I'll tell you what to do. First, the first XCOM meeting, executive committee meeting you go to, because now you're going to be coming to XCOM meetings, I'll tell you how it goes. I'll tell you what to look at, what pages to look at, what pages not to look at. And you know, it's funny, I say that, Sarah, and there are still people you say that, we say that too, and they don't reach out.
Yeah.
They don't, like, no, I'll do it my own way. Like, dude, do not reinvent the wheel. So one page at a time. And then the other thing, say to people, take notes, folks. Ask me for the page of my playbook that I'm working from, okay? This is a great time for you guys to take notes. And maybe you realize it could have been done better. I did it this way, and maybe you figure out you could do it a slightly different way. And you change the play that you capture
exactly.
in your playbook.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And folks, one of the, I want to say the real values, the beauty of having a playbook is the fact that every time you run the play, your playbook is meant to get smarter. Yes. You're going to learn lessons every time you run the play. Make sure that you go back and you're updating your play with any input you get. When you first brief your play to the team, they contribute to it. When you run the play, what worked, what didn't. You want your play to be improved in time based upon yep. the input you're getting from other people and from the environment.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I meant to say this at the start of this show, but I didn't. I actually had a playbook. I had a notebook. And I remember being in an acquisition meeting with Cisco. And Cisco, not the food service company in the United States, but the telecommunications and networking firm in the United States. And they were famous for being very good at acquiring companies. They would, rather than try to compete against them, they just bought companies when they were the leader. And they were very good at it. And they assimilated people incredibly fast and very little. There was a lot less drama, a lot less Sturm und Drang. You know, it was good. They were really good. And I walked into a meeting. I was coaching an executive that was on the team that had recommended. And then they had bought this smaller company that had some good technology and some good people. It was more of a people buy, but they still had some solid technology. And every single person at the table had a big notebook. And the notebook was Cisco's playbook
That's
for acquisitions.
So cool.
And
I
it was
love
ev-
that.
It was every acquisition. Now, they would go through and they would make notes on it. Like, okay, this one doesn't matter because there's no multiple owners, right? There was a whole section in this playbook about what if there are multiple owners?
Yeah.
Right? How do you soothe ruffle feathers, or how do you make them appreciate how much money they got and so on? If there's only one owner, I remember this one guy saying, there's only one owner, we can skip section 21. Like, it was like four pages. They just got to ship. They just got to skip immediately. And I got to tell you, of course, I was new to this process for them. I'd been on the outside of them doing it. I was very impressed by it. And they just ran this playbook. And if you ran an acquisition, you owed to the M&A team that was mm-hmm. responsible for buying companies and acquiring them and then acculturating them or onboarding them to the Cisco way, you owed them notes after the process of what worked or what didn't work or what was outdated. You know, there were notes in there yeah. about BlackBerries. This was quite a while ago. And they said, we got to get rid of all BlackBerries notations because there's no BlackBerries anymore.
Yeah.
People don't have BlackBerries. There wasn't even mention about a Palm Pilot or a Palm Trio or something like that. Yeah, that was legit at the time, but it's not anymore. And there's actually plenty of work for the M&A team to constantly be updating that thing. The idea of a playbook and the idea that you can walk in, and a lot of Wall Street firms have them as well for mergers and acquisitions, obviously, but also stock offerings and all kinds of stuff. You open to page 20. We're on page 22, folks. We're doing X, right? We're reviewing asset prices. We're determining the breakup value, whatever. And we do that on page 85B. It makes you, when you are perceived as someone who has captured this knowledge, it makes you look like more of an asset. It makes you faster. It makes your people faster. And it sends a message to executives like, no, I've got a play. No, I can run a play for that. Yeah, I can do that. And your colleague who's in the meeting and they've asked for a volunteer, you raise your hand and say, yeah, I can do it. Your colleague's like, wow, that was fast. I mean, he must have done it before. And maybe you have. But there are people who have done it before who will still really reinvent the wheel.
Yes.
As opposed I might reinvent 20% of this wheel, but I've got the fundamental outline of the wheel here and I'm not going to mess with it because I've done it before and it works. And I know I've done it because it's in my playbook.
Yeah, that's absolutely exactly. And folks, sharing of your playbook with others should also be easy. All of these things should be simple. That is, when someone texts or Slacks or emails or phones you about a situation for which you have a page in your playbook, share it.
Yeah.
Share that page in your playbook. We found it works far better to do so verbally.
Yeah.
That is, say, absolutely. Can we hop on a call for 15 minutes this afternoon?
Right.
And I'll walk through it. Part of the reason for that is often playbook pages are, I want to say, pretty sketchy as far as details are considered.
Right.
And I mean, referring to Mark mentioned in part one of this podcast, oftentimes they've got pages that are dog-eared and they got sticky notes on them. And over the time, due to multiple iteration, they are less, a step-by-step, beautiful process that can be easily shared with anybody else on the planet Earth. The pages come to serve more of a reminder of previous runs of the play.
Yeah. If I send you a copy of a thing with three sticky notes, it's a copy. And so the sticky notes clearly show up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. As being that this page that was copied had sticky notes on it. And there's just like one note that says, for instance, Colgate. I actually wrote that on a playbook page once, Colgate. And the reason I did was I was at Procter and selling Crest. And it reminded me that one of the things that we did that Colgate didn't was this thing taking care of doctors. And what I wanted to do was say, if you choose the other guy, you won't get X,
yeah.
Right? There's no way anyone in the world would know that
interpret
but me,
that. No.
Right? So you have to tell them that. And frankly, people say, this is a playbook? This is a page from your playbook? It's got sticky notes?
Exactly.
The world moves pretty fast. You got to pay attention. And so I write stuff all the time. I've told people for years that when I have changes, when I have notes for people in my one-on-ones, if I have a yellow sticky nearby, I'll write it on the yellow sticky real fast and stick it on the front of my one-on-one notebook with a letter or an initial to indicate who it's for.
Me too.
Same thing with a playbook, right? This playbook exists. It's on my shelf.
Yeah.
And I remind, oh, I got to remember to make that note about Colgate because my boss said, don't forget, that really helped us solving this problem for this particular customer. Okay, I write Colgate on a sticky note, put it on the front of the thing. I know what it's referencing, play 21. I open up sometime later when I get to the playbook. I take everything, all the yellow sticky notes, I take them and transfer them to the appropriate pages. And then I have it. Rather than saying, okay, tonight when I get home, I have to retype my entire page number 21. It just seems, at least for me, that seems administratively burdensome.
Absolutely. Folks, that's why we're suggesting you share them verbally, because you've got your own shorthand. You've got your own way of writing things. So when you look at a page, you can add context, story, example to what's being shared. Whereas if you were to share those raw pages, if you can envision what those raw pages might look like in your brain, the responses you get are going to be less than positive. It would be great if you could write a page that was roughly equivalent to an executive tools, manager tools, or career tools show note.
That'd be great.
That'd be lovely, but you're not going to create a page that looks that beautiful. To Mark's point earlier, you shouldn't have to worry about both creating a playbook that works well for you as well as creating a playbook that is easy to read by any other human on the planet Earth.
Yeah.
You're not going to get there.
It's not, who cares if it's pretty?
Exactly. It'll take too much extra time, too much extra effort.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to create a playbook that's beautiful to that degree, and you shouldn't try.
Yeah.
You shouldn't try. In terms of your pages, many are going to have nothing other on them than 5 to 7 bullets. And if you were to just share a list of 5 to 7 bullets with a peer, a colleague, or a director, or somebody else in the organization, and they saw that, it's going to really come across as underwhelming.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't really a playbook, Sarah. They don't have the context. This is like a list of bullets.
Yeah, and they don't have the memories that you had of how those bullets worked. And so they're like, well, okay, what does all this mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And unfortunately, they get underwhelmed. And they ought to know better because you're giving them something that they don't have, but usually they don't. And so we think of, when we talk about sharing, folks, you use the page as a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk your colleague through the play.
Yes.
That's the way that works best. Then, after they've heard your approach, send them an image of your notes from the page, and they'll have the context. And then they'll have their notes and your notes as well. Works much better.
Absolutely. If you're running an organization, and your organization needs help for its managerial complement, I assure you, you are not alone. Manager Tools is here to help. We've got a full suite available to help your organization. From free options like our podcasts, low-cost options like the Effective Manager and Effective Hiring Manager books. We've got video conferences for those of you that are unable to travel and we're working on a schedule that is not your own. We've got virtual events for people that cannot travel, but can book time to meet with us. I'm going to say directly, all the way up to in-person public events where your folks can register to join us, or you can bring us on site. Email us today at Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E, at manager-tools.com to find out how. We've talked a little bit about this, Mark, but continuing along the theme, updating your playbook, both the creation of and the updating of your playbook should be easy. That is, every time you run one of your plays, we'd recommend you run a hot wash when the play is over. Folks, I think most of you should be familiar with what a hot wash is. That is, everyone involved in running said play gets together and we all share, in our opinion, the things that went well, the things that need to be taken a look at, and we have a podcast for that.
By the way, Sarah, I had a conversation at the M conference. Somebody said, Mark, you're always talking about hot wash. Everybody around here talks about hot washes. They just love them. I said, yeah, it's great. Hot washes are great.
They're great.
After action report. What went well, take a look at. And they said, yeah, you're always talking about, you know, get together and so on. I don't have time for it. I said, dude, do you have staff meeting? He said, yeah. I said, every time you need a hot wash for something, you do it during your staff meeting. He says, well, the thing I was doing it on Tuesday, staff meeting's on Thursday. Dude, no problem. The idea that on Tuesday you have to schedule a meeting at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock when people are trying to get home, don't do that. Do it during your staff meeting. And by the way, compress it down to 5 minutes. Don't make it a 45-minute discussion. 5 minutes, real fast, quick hits, stuff that went good. Stuff we need to do different, consider, take a look at next time. And people will be much more motivated to come to a hot wash if they know it's more like a brainstorming session. It's not, but it's more like a brainstorming session in that volume and speed are what matter, not a complete rehashing of the entire 3-month-long project. People are going like, what is this going to be, 90 minutes? And, oh, that's too long. I don't have time. I'd like to get some real work done. Because people
that's
are saying,
over. I want to close the book on that thing.
Exactly. I'm moving on to other stuff. Yeah. So don't let that idea that we say hot wash and you go, well, I don't have time. It's 5 minutes during your staff meeting.
Exactly. And what we want you to do is both have the hot wash as well as capture your notes and capture those notes then into your playbook. And tell your team, I've captured the notes from this hot wash into the playbook so we can add to the play. Yeah. You can modify the original notes of your play, or you can just append the hot wash notes to the end of the play. However you want those notes to be added to add additional value to the play works. There's no right, there's no wrong, whatever way works.
Yeah.
And most managers we know who do it, just append the hot wash notes.
Yeah, I don't. I don't. I always like, okay, they're the hot wash notes. There are 7 or 8 things that made sense to me. Yeah, they're great. I'll remember those or it'll be fine or whatever. Mm-hmm. The other ones, I put little notes on the thing. I would rather have a note-rich single page rather than a clean first page and then 3 hot wash notes behind it because it's been run 3 times. Because now, in order to get the play I'm going to run in my head in order to brief my team, I have to go through 4 pages. Now, guys, I'm not kidding. I think I'm in the minority. The majority of time, people just like, nope, I'm just going to put the hot wash notes right in there. Mm-hmm. It'll be good to go. But for me, I run hot washes often enough, or I'm in hot washes often enough. I lose context for things. So I want to get them out of the hot wash and point, write a note and point at something that needs to change or needs to be updated or something like that.
Yeah, that's by far the better way. I mean, I know, speaking back to the AMP conference, which we've referred to often, because it's the most recent really, really large event that required a hot wash at the end of it. There are multiple things that, in my opinion, as somebody that knows the tiniest, most granular details of the event, I think to myself, this thing was done wrong again, and it was captured as something that needed taking a look at in the last hot wash notes. It was in the last hot wash notes. I said it in the last hot wash notes, and then when I saw it happen again, I was like, wait a minute, I said this in the last hot wash notes. Right. But because the hot wash notes were appended to as opposed to made a part of the process, it was something that was captured and then still lost. Yeah, exactly. Lost. Still done poorly. It won't happen again, but I had to have that same error happen twice because of the way it was captured. It could be done both ways. You can append to or you can add to. And note, going back and adding those notes to the play itself leads to much more successful runnings of the play in future.
Yeah.
All right. That's our cast. So, folks, in summary, effective managers have a playbook. Their playbook is filled with the plays that they can run. And having a play, having some structure, having a list of things to do allows for you to be far more creative and be able to make changes on the fly. When you're implementing against an already existing plan, as opposed to making up a plan from scratch as you go, it's incredibly helpful to have a trusted starting point in terms of your running a play, in terms of these crises.
And if you're an ethical professional, if you're a professional who cares about her organization, if you're a professional who cares about your colleagues, you've got to share these plays, folks. We don't need to keep reinventing the wheel. Okay. It's not a hazing process. The first year of being a manager, help your team grow, help your colleagues grow. You'll become a more respected manager. And essentially the managers who have a lot of respect, those are the ones we call leaders, because you not only have the playbook, which makes you effective, but you share it, which makes the entire organization more effective. The world needs more managers who have and share playbooks.
Absolutely. Agreed. Thank you so much for joining us for this series, Mark.
My pleasure.
This has been great.
Always fun.
That's all for this week, folks. Join us with a new topic next week. Bye, guys.